What's God doing in your life? How's He directing you these days? Are you moving in a new direction you didn't plan? Is He putting His finger on some nerve in your life? Jack is going to tell his story. I want you to hear what he refers to as a new calling for him that he's really excited about. And then I want to hear from you. The way God is moving you towards something you hoped would happen, you prayed about, or moving you in a direction that's kind of a surprise to you, and you've decided to go with him. There's an opportunity to tell your story today at the Radio Backyard Fence. Remember, your life experience may be just the thing somebody else needs to hear. Let's get started. First, thanking our team, Ryan McConaughey, doing all things technical. Trish is our producer. Tahira's in the chair. Laurel answer your questions. Ben Fridsma, is helping out at the home office. And since it's Friday, that's right, it's time for the fabulous Fabry Friday Sigh. Here's what it does. One, we oxygenate your blood. Two, we get your endorphins going. Three, we raise your serotonin level. Four, we promote lymphatic drainage. And five, we stimulate your parasympathetic system. That's why we call it the five lung languages. We also stimulate your vagus nerve. We help you release acetylcholine. And don't forget what it does to cortisol dissipation. Take in 4 seconds of air through your nose right now. Hold it 4 seconds. And then as you release that air through your mouth, push on the left side of your rib cage to get rid of all that bad carbon dioxide. Today, let's give a sigh for a new direction, for changes in life that move us in ways we didn't expect. This happens to young people in sports. You have an injury in one sport, you try something else. You major in one subject in college, you discover another path. It happens to those in middle age. Kids come along, a lot of women become moms and are redirected home for a season. Or after the kids fly the nest, the directions can change, or God invades at whatever age. And you get the desire to follow Him instead of following your dreams. And you begin to do something in His power and not your own. Let's talk about it today. Fabulous Fabry Friday Side brought to you by Change Agents across the fruited plain. Special guest today is in West Michigan. His name is Jack Havman. He served as station manager of 89.3 Moody Radio Grand Rapids since 2007. His retirement is coming up in June, and so a lot of people retiring, and I have them on here. I want to find out what's going on in their heart, but I heard yesterday, and I've heard this for a little while, that there's something else that he's not just stopping something, he's beginning something else. So I want you to hear his story, and then I'm going to hear from you. Jack, welcome to the back fence. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, Chris, and I think I just threw something out of my back here just a moment ago in that exercise.
Really? Was it pushing on the left side of your rib cage?
I pushed on the wrong side or something. Yeah. I'm just not sure.
So you've been around radio for the last 40 years or so, haven't you?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep. Yeah, 40 years.
Tell me, just step back a minute. Why is radio so powerful? What's the magic of radio, do you think?
Connecting with people at a level that I think is just amazing. I've never stopped being amazed by radio. And I'm not a tech guy, okay? But just that intimacy that happens on a one-on-one kind of a situation has always been very important in my life.
Yeah. I find that when I ask people to call in, they will tell me stuff about their life, and then I'll say, who have you told that to? And they'll say, nobody. You know, there's something about the vulnerability and that, you know, that it takes – radio is such a one-on-one thing. So I totally agree with you. Is this what you always wanted to do, though, when you were a kid? Did you think, I want to be in radio?
Never. Never. Sure. I mean, I should stop for a second. I remember having a little cassette player at one time, and I was playing radio, just messing around, but it never became anything serious. You know, in fact, when I went to college, I thought I was going to be a pastor. I had recently received Jesus, and I figured, hey, the next step, I must be a pastor. I don't know what else I can do. So I did that. And it didn't last very long, and it was the sounding board, as it were, for me to start in radio.
Interesting. Why didn't it last very long? Was it because you didn't feel like you had the makeup of a pastor?
Yes. Yeah. For whatever reason, it just seemed like, Lord, this isn't what, I don't think this is what you've called me to do. And So at that point, I remember walking into the office of the station because I knew a couple of guys that were there. It looked interesting to me. And I said, do you think I could perhaps, you know, maybe just come here and check some things out? And the manager at the time said to me, well, you're going to have to change direction. I said, I don't have a direction. So that's how I ended up in radio.
Isn't that something? And now it's changing again. Okay, we're going to get to that. But Christian radio. See, you could do radio is magical in itself. But
yes, it is.
Christian radio, there's something else about that. And the depth of grief and the vulnerability. You know, I just saw the death of Mandisa today and the people who are grieving that and her, you know, the power of her voice. And she was only 47 and all the questions that we have. You know, we can walk with people in some of those really, really hard times. But have you seen Christian radio reach into people's lives? Is there anybody that comes to mind when I talk about that?
Oh, man. Over 40 years, I have spoken with people so many times at a very heart-to-heart level. And I can't say, Chris, that perhaps, not like some who have said, well, we led this man to Jesus on the air. I don't think I've had any of those experiences, but I know some of the deeper conversations that I've had with others, I know that there was a link in the chain that I provided or somebody in their life more than a few times. So, that's about where that is.
And God pulls back the curtain. Sometimes he just gives you a little glimpse, you know, don't you?
Keep going.
But you've decided that you're not going to keep going, at least in radio. And at the end of June, I believe it is that you're retiring.
Correct.
Was that a hard decision?
It was initially. My wife and I prayed about that for quite some time, and it just seemed... It was the right time. It was the right time. And it took a little while. But in fact, I remember talking to some of our colleagues at Moody, and I just thought, guys, I really don't know. I think I need to retire, but I'm not sure why or is this the right time? And so I had several praying along with me, and it became very, very obvious over maybe, I'd say, half a year or so that God was saying, this is time. And this is what I want you to do now.
And we can say your age, you're right at 70, right?
Yes, yes.
That's I am. Young. 70 is so much younger than it was to me back when I was 30.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. Yeah. Yes, for sure. But
so you've been there in Grand Rapids for the last 17 years. And that we have a link. Tricia put a link. If you go through today's information, chrisfabrylive.org, click through today's program with Jack, there's a link there to thank you, Jack. So if you've been ministered to by Jack in Grand Rapids, fill that out. Let him know. Just say something kind, nice to him. And if today's the first time you're getting to hear him, you can do that as well. Just go to the website, click through. But there's something else that has happened. There's something else that has bubbled up. And that's what I want to talk with you about in the next segment. And then I'm going to open up the phone lines for you, friend, because something you say in answer to the question that I have for you today might help somebody else. What's God doing in your life? How is he directing you, redirecting you, molding your heart? Let me give you the number, 877-548-3675. More straight ahead on Moody Radio. My question today at the Radio Backyard Fence is, what is God doing in your life? How's he moving you? How's he directing you? 877-548-3675. And maybe it's as simple as what Ray Pritchard shared yesterday. In his cancer journey, he said, God is showing me how impatient I've been, how much in a hurry I've been pretty much all of my life. Write the number down. I really want to hear from you because what God is doing in your life might help somebody else. 877-548-3675. But I want you to hear Jack's story because Jack, again, is station manager of Moody Radio Grand Rapids. He's been there for 17 years. He's retiring in June. And you think he's going to play golf and he's going to go out on the lake and he's going to sail and do all these. And I hope you do get to do whatever you want to do. Read more books, you know, that kind of thing. But God is directing you someplace else. Tell me about this.
Yes. Let me just share this story. It's the best way to describe it. So I had been on a number of mission mission adventures, I guess is the best way to say. And I went to Israel, and I went to Brazil, and a number of places, South Africa. I got back, Chris, from Honduras. I had never been to Honduras before, and this was a smaller mission trip from our church. And when I got back from that, I said to the Lord, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? And with this, I meant the sights, the sounds, the smells, the experience itself. What do you want me to do with this? I had never had that feeling before with any of my other mission trips, which was kind of interesting. And roughly two days after that, I came across a friend of mine that, do you remember the group A Cappella?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay. Well, one of the lead singers, Wayburn Dean, is a friend of mine, and he was in A Cappella for quite a while. And he said, hey, why don't we meet out for lunch, and I want to tell you what's going on. And so a couple of days later, we went out for lunch, and he was explaining to me that he and his wife started this ministry for prisoners. He said, Jack, he said, I've never seen anything like this. People are coming to Christ this was not jail, this was prison ministry. And after he's talking to me about this, and I saw a tear in his eye, and I said to him, Wayburn, that's exactly what I want.
Wow.
It was at that point that God said yes to me, this is what I want for you. That's how that started. And so
Wait a minute.
Oh, go ahead.
But were you thinking about prison ministry, jail ministry? Were you, did you have any background in that other than what Wayburn told you?
I did not. No. I went in with everything, my feet, my head, my legs. I didn't know what was going to happen. When I first went into a prison, it scared me to death. What is this going to be? And very, very quickly after I started going to concerts with Wayburn, because that's how we were opening the doors. He would sing with concerts, and then we would have opportunity to speak with the inmates in different ways, in different capacities. And it was so real, Chris. All of a sudden, it's like, this is exactly what God wants for me. And I had no doubt about that. None at all.
I wonder if there's not some connection, too, with what you're talking about. With radio, it's like with radio, you know, the message is getting out there. You know, it's having an impact, but you can't see it. But here, when you walk in, when you see the faces, when you see the tear of Wayburn, but when you see the faces, when you see the response, it's like, wow, I can see it in front of me. And that's very appealing to somebody who hasn't been able to see it, you know, other than phone lines ringing or that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's true. And there was a connection with radio when all of this started, because I would talk to some people about this or that. I wouldn't usually say that I'm on this station or that station, but a lot of times the inmates would just ask, you know, what do you do? And I would speak about radio, and many times they said, hey, we listen to your station. So again, it was an affirmation. Just a total affirmation that the Lord says, you listen to what I'm telling you. This is what I want you to do.
Yeah. So you said that you're going to, you know, the timing was right for the retirement.
Right.
So what are you going to do after that?
Okay. I am currently part of a ministry called Reach the Forgotten. The ministry is across the state of Michigan. We have 55 jails that we work with and inmates that we work with. I am right now, I'm an assistant chaplain in that ministry. So I am currently doing what I'm going to do, only I'm going to do more of it. And the more of it is just spending time with the inmates. We have a lot of Jesus conversations. We cry together. We laugh together. It is some of the best times of my life in this short period of time. It's amazing.
Yeah. Can you give me a conversation that you've had? You don't need to reveal everything, but just give me a slice of life about what the person on the other side is asking or dealing with.
Sure. One that I won't give the name, a fellow that I had connected with, and we started talking about things, because oftentimes these conversations don't happen real quickly. And so, you know, we're dancing around an issue or something like that. But oftentimes after that, they get into real, real deep discussion because they want to help. They need help and so on and so forth. So this particular person, I couldn't figure out what was going on in his life. He seemed to be just really outgoing, a great guy to talk to. And he told me that he didn't have any problem with alcohol or substance abuse or anything like that. There was no sexual issues. And it came to me immediately. I said, I'll bet it's rage. And right after I thought about that, he said, yes, I've been in because of rage for over 18 years. And during the time, though, the Lord Jesus came into his life, and he is just a delightful guy to be talking to, and he still has a little more opportunity. Well, he has to go to another prison now for a little while, but it was an amazing time just listening to him and him opening up, and I'm getting more and more of that, and it's redemptive. It is life-giving for me.
You know what I wrote down as you're telling that story is listening. Your main ministry in this position that you're, and it has been in radio too, is really important, not just to talk, but to listen real well. But yes, listening and being able to intuit, not having all the answers to everything. You're finite. You know, you're limited. You don't have all the answers to everything.
Sure.
But if you listen and you value that other person, you see them and they feel valued by you, that's half the battle, isn't it?
It's amazing. And in fact, just real quickly, a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting there with three other inmates around the table. And I told these guys, I said, guys, you have to understand that what you and I discuss and what we talk about together, I said, this is life-giving for me. This is good for me. And this is not just me with you. It's us together as a community talking about Jesus.
That was the other question, is what do you receive? So the discipleship is two ways, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It is. I never thought that was going to happen. That was a big surprise to me when I started this ministry.
Yeah. What about Bonnie? You and Bonnie have been married for 40. When is 50 coming up?
That'll be next year. Yeah.
What month? 49
years.
June? June of next year?
Yes, in June.
Okay.
Yep,
all right.
That's correct.
So in June of this year, you'll be married 49 years and you're retiring. And June of next year, 50 years. How does she feel about all of this?
Oh, well, she doesn't mind me being old. she is totally connected with me in this ministry. She has a different ministry. She writes to prisoners in a different capacity. She writes to them in different places in different states. That's been her ministry for quite some time. And so we share stories quite often about what's going on, and she's completely supportive of what I'm doing for sure.
Wow. So you feel, a lot of people talk about retirement and you're going to rest and relax. It almost sounds like your life is going to ramp up more now that you're retiring. Is that right?
Yeah, that's pretty much true. Yes, it is. We have family in Iowa that we will visit a little bit more often. But other than that, we're not big travelers. We've done the Hawaii thing. We've done all the big trips that we wanted to take. And so we're kind of homebodies, but my wife is my greatest, whatever I need in my life, other than the Lord, it's my wife. She's just amazing.
That's good. I like that. So Reach the Forgotten is the ministry, and you're going to be serving with them as chaplain. So is this the kind of thing where you raise support? Do you need to do that?
No. It's totally, for me, it's strictly volunteer. And the ministry itself employs full-time chaplains, of which I am not. So I'm not paid. I'm an assistant chaplain.
I'm glad you're there. And I bet they are all very welcoming to you. They're putting an arm around you saying, come on in here, Jack. We need you, right?
Yes, exactly. Yes. And it's, like I said, and I'm just really at the front end of this thing, Chris. I'm really anxious to move forward and get deeper.
Good for you. Now, what would you say to anybody else? Because I mentioned, you know, the story that you tell might help somebody else. If there's somebody who's been thinking about, you know, I'd like to do the chaplain thing, the prison thing, the jail ministry, but I don't know, do I have what it takes? How can I get started? What do you say to that person?
Well, I think, first of all, for me, I think I told you that for 40 years, my calling was for Christian radio, and now this is my new calling that the Lord is showing me. I would not have moved toward this unless I sensed that calling. It came with lots of prayer, and I continue to pray. Obviously, I'm praying for all these guys that I'm meeting with on a regular basis. But if you're not praying, you're not listening, and you're not hearing. So that's what you need to be doing.
Yeah. And then being willing to go ahead and to say, okay, and isn't it part of the makeup here that you're not trusting in your own ability, your own strength? You know, there's a sense of, I'm not doing any of this in myself. I'm going to let him work through me.
Totally. Yeah, totally.
I think that's the way it is for anybody. If Sunday school teacher, you know, of any age, prison ministry, or whatever it is, if you tap into the power of God and you're relying totally on Him, then that is a wind in your sails, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do what I'm doing right now because of it was so, it was an abstract for me to even be thinking about it initially. And now where I am and the love that I have for these guys and all of the rest and everything else that God is bringing my way at this point in my life, it came through prayer, and I am continuing to pray because I don't want to miss anything. I ask people, because I have a Sunday show, I ask people to come along with me as they pray for me, because I tell them I don't want to miss a single thing that happens when I'm with those inmates.
Yes. Are you still doing the Sunday morning program then?
Yes, I am.
After you retire? Oh, good.
Yes.
So you're still good. We're still going to hear your voice.
Oh, No. Not after I retire. No.
Oh, you're stopping that.
Well, yeah, I'm stopping that.
You'll have to record some stuff, and we'll just drop it in here to Chris Fabry Live.
Perfect.
There's Jack again.
Hey, how about that? That can happen.
again, the thing that really arrests me about this is that all you needed was your friend Wayburn and the tear in his eye and the experience that you had, you know, in that jail and that prison that you went into to say,
yes,
this is it. This is what I've been looking for, right?
Yes, yes, exactly. And it came by such surprise to me. when I asked the Lord after coming back from Honduras, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? That's where it started.
I think there's somebody listening today who's has the same kind of thing. You're at a tipping point in your life or in your career, and you're thinking about changing or moving or doing something different. And just Jack's openness to do something different is going to encourage you, or at least I hope it is. Jack, thanks for being with us. God bless you, friend. How can we best pray for you?
I would say, Chris, just like I tell the folks that I'm listening to, or excuse me, the ones that I'm talking to on the air, it's just, I don't want to miss anything. Whatever the Lord has for me every night, every time that I'm in the jail, I want to make sure that I catch it all, everything that he's asking me to do.
Amen. Well, Father, thank you for Jack. Thank you for his life, for his ministry, and for what you have for him to do, he and Bonnie. Don't let him miss anything. Don't let anything pass by him that you want him to see. And slow him down to be able to see that, hear that, and to be fully there every time he walks into those prison doors to give life to others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Jack, thank you, friend. You come back and see us, okay?
Thanks, Chris. We'll do it.
That's Jack Havman. If you go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org, we have a link right under his picture there, his smiling visage. Thank you, Jack. You can link to that. You can say a word or two to him. But before you do that, I want you to call me, because the question on the table today is, what's God doing in your life? What is he, what nerve is he pressing down? Is there something that way, a good way that he is directing you? And maybe, again, it's just as simple as, no, he's showing me something, and here's what it is. 877-548-3675. I'll take your calls after a quick break here. 877-548-3675. What God is doing in your life, straight ahead on Moody Radio. Simple question, easy question, maybe the answer will be hard. What's God doing in your life? How's he directing you, moving you? What nerve is he pushing down? What? Maybe there's some song, there's some verse that you've been reading and it's just weighing heavy on you, or maybe like Jack, you feel like I'm being launched into something. 877-548-3675. Ask that question, and Ronnie was the very first person to dial in. Hey, Ronnie, how you doing today?
I'm being blessed, brother.
I'm glad to hear it. Tell me why you called.
I'm going to back up 2018. My wife and I graduated school of missions, and we were planning on going on the mission field. Lost a job at the church I was working with, and started a job doing the same thing for a contractor. And I was working so much I wasn't going to church, and I stopped reading my Bible, and put on another crew. I picked up another contractor, thought I could just slow down a little bit, start doing things, end up working more and more and more. Long story short, I started drinking. I wasn't reading my Bible. I wasn't doing devotions with my wife. Over the last 5 years, she's had four major surgeries. I've had one major, one minor surgery. 1 month, 2 days ago, my wife, I come home from work, and she left me a note, and she was gone. I haven't spoken to my wife, not because I don't want to, because she shut my phone off, blocked me on Facebook. I called her and texted her with my new number. I've sent her email. Still no response. She shut down Facebook. Nobody from the church that I go to had been able to get a hold of her. After about second or third attempt from the pastor's wife, she said that she was watching the services online. I don't like where I'm at. Matter of fact, I hate it. I understand now how much I took her for granted, and all the nights that she said she was getting up because her shoulder or knee hurt, those were two of the surgeries. A lot of those times she was getting up because she was worried about us and me and my drinking and this, that, and the other. But through all this, I'm a month sober. I read somewhere between 6 and 12 chapters. I'm doing two or three Bible apps. Deep prayer. It's just turned me back to the Lord.
So this is a valley. This is a valley. And so the question, what's God doing in your life? Your wife leaves you and you can't talk with her. You got to look at you, right?
I am looking at me, and I'm trying to get me square. I want to say this. I'm trying to get the inner man built with God, and I'm working on the outer man. I'm thankful that she left. I'm thankful that the Lord used her. I know he did, to turn my life around, to get my eyes back upon Jesus. And I'm working really, really hard on getting me right, and hoping and praying that, I know the Lord doesn't want a divorce, and I'm hoping and praying that through this, that we get back together and we can do something to glorify the Lord because of this.
Yes. You just punched me in the gut right there, Ronnie. You took my breath away when you said, I'm thankful my wife left. Because I don't know that I've ever heard anybody in your situation a month and 2 days into this who has been able to get to that point to say, I know this is the deepest valley, but God's using it for good for me. Now, you don't control her. You don't control her reaction to anything that you're doing and the changes that you're making. And you can't. She's the only one who, you know, and I pray God that, you know, that you would be able to get back together and to reconcile, but that you are focused on you, I think is the greatest hope that I have for you, because God's in the change age. He's you know, he stood outside that tomb and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he did. And a dead man came out, and you were dead on the inside after all these years that you're talking about. And there is life that is coming back into you, don't you think?
I do. And, you know, I look at it like this, Chris. If the Lord doesn't change me through my willingness and keeping my eyes upon him, I'm not going to be any good to my wife. I haven't treated her like Christ would have treated my wife. And I pray that one day she'll be able to forgive me and allow me to give her that safety, security, and treat her as Christ would treat her for the rest of our life. She's 69. I'm 62.
Oh,
really, they ain't in this starting over.
Yeah. Well, that's what I pray. Hang on. I want to send you a copy. Gary Chapman wrote a book called One More Try. It's for marriages that are kind of desperate, which is kind of where you are. And so to hear, we'll get your information. But as you're describing yourself, I was reading this morning in Philip Keller's classic, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And he talked about a sheep that he had that was cast, C-A-S-T. Do you know what a sheep that is cast, what that means? It means that the sheep has, it's like a turtle that's on his back, but the sheep has laid down, and because of one thing or another, an indentation in the pasture there, they get on their back and they're like, you know, the dying cockroach. They can't get back up. And so it is the shepherd that has to help them. And Philip writes about this as being one of the hardest thing for a shepherd to do, because you see the vultures and the buzzards and the coyotes and the dogs, they all look for that vulnerable cast sheep. And as you've described what you've talked about here in your own life, Ronnie, you've described exactly that. So what does the shepherd do? The shepherd goes and finds the missing sheep. And here's what he writes. I would see the sheep at a distance, lying on its back, helpless. At once I would start to run toward it, hurrying as fast as I could, for every minute was critical. Within me, there was a mingled sense of fear and joy. Fear it might be too late, joy that I had found the sheep. As soon as I reached my cast ewe, my first impulse was to pick it up. Tenderly, I would roll the sheep over on its side. This would relieve the pressure of gases in the rumen, you know, chewing the cud. If she'd been down for long, I would have to lift her onto her feet. Then, straddling the sheep with my legs, I would hold her, rubbing her limbs to restore the circulation to her legs. This often took quite a little time. When the sheep started to walk again, she often would stumble, stagger, and collapse in a heap. All the time I worked on the cast sheep, I would talk to it gently. When are you going to learn to stand on your own feet? I'm so glad I found you in time, you little rascal. Little by little, the sheep would regain its equilibrium. It would start to walk steadily and surely. By and by, it would dash away to rejoin the others, set free from its fears and frustrations, given another chance to live a little longer. And what Philip Keller says is, this is exactly what God does for us in Christ. He sets us back up again. This is in the chapter on He Restores My Soul. And that's what I pray for you, Ronnie, that He would restore your soul. And in the middle of all that, restore your marriage, help your wife with all that she has been through, and a whole lot more. But for you especially, and I said before you called, your story might help somebody else. If you are on the front end of this and you see your life, you're living it in a way where you're on your back and you don't have any control over what is going on, there is a shepherd who cares for you, who wants to give, wants to set you right. He wants to restore your soul. God bless you, friend. Hang on, Ronnie. I want to hear it to get your info. And if you go to chrisfabrylive.org and scroll down on our homepage, you'll see that book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. It's a timeless classic, and it's our thank you this month for just a few more days, about 11 or 12 days. You can receive a copy of Philip Keller's book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Find out more, find out how you can be a partner or a friend with us right there at the website, chrisfabrylive.org, chrisfabrylive.org. More straight ahead on Moody Radio. The other thing Ronnie said that I wrote down was, I just love this, I don't like where I am. Is there anybody who's listening right now who said, I know exactly what you're, I don't like where I am? It might be somebody listening or somebody in your community who doesn't like where they are because they have an unplanned pregnancy and they don't know what to do. And they're being pushed into abortion because, you know, that's easier. It just make it easier on everybody. That's why I'm glad God is at work through the ministry of CareNet, and why CareNet wants to challenge you and me to be engaged with this, not just with our lips, not just with our verbiage, but in a tangible way with the people around us, the people in the pews around us, the people in the community. They have a church engagement initiative where they have a program called Making Life Disciples, because CareNet really believes that abortion at its basic issue is a discipleship issue. You come into a relationship with Jesus and things change. Your outlooks change. Your outlook changes. You begin to renew your mind and you see what others can't see. Go to chrisfabrylive.org. Click the green CareNet button today. You'll see more about that initiative, about making life disciples, and how to have your church become a lighthouse or a life house. Go to chrisfabrylive.org. Click the green CareNet button today. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for your support. Thanks for calling. Noel's in Tampa, Florida. Noel, you like what Jack was saying a little earlier, didn't you?
Absolutely. It's my story, but backwards, I would say. At a very young age, I came to the feet of Christ after being sentenced to 4 life sentences in 30 years in the federal system. You know, I just got lost in the streets and in gangs and all of that. But I was able to, I see what he was saying. I lived it so many times over and over with different pastors that would come into the prisons to preach, and they would be amazed at how men were so willing and so open to their need of a savior. recognizing, it was easy for us to recognize that, you know, we had destroyed our lives, we had destroyed our family, we had destroyed people in society, you know, and we knew that there was nothing good in us. It was very clear, you know, it's like the word says, you know, he came to seek that which was lost. And you know, in the unexpected things, by God's miracle, I was released after 30 years in prison. And now I'm going back into the prisons, in the prison ministry, to give back by grace what I was given by grace for so many years, knowing the transforming power of Christ.
Wow. Oh, Noel, that is so good. That is so good. After 30 years, that's the last place you want to go to. And after 30 years, because of God's grace, that's the first place you want to go back to, because you know the hope there. Okay, so here's my question to you. How did you get over the hurdle of, with everything that you've done in your life, you know you're a sinner, you know you're bad. How did you get over the hurdle of, you mean all I got to do is accept this and pray? Can you really be forgiven for all of that you've done in your life by God without having to, you know, walk up a hill or give a lot of money or what? How'd you get over that hurdle?
It was a long, long, long process, but something that I heard, because that was my question to God, you know, I was like, God, you know, is there forgiveness for me? After all I've done, can you forgive me? And I struggled with that for many, 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 many years, but somebody, and I don't remember where I heard it. I just know that it stuck with me. It says, do you think that you're greater than God, that God could forgive you, but you can't forgive yourself?
Yeah. Do you think that your sin is greater than God's ability to forgive you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that made me realize that, you know, it might seem easy for us, but he just made it the easiest that we could, just like his word says, he don't want none to perish, but all to come to repentance and eternal life.
Yeah. Noel, somebody need to hear that today. Because there's somebody who is, and you know, I just talked about the abortion thing. There's a lot of people, women and men, who have abortion in their background, yep. And they have not, you know, yeah, God can forgive, but he can't forgive me. You know, you don't understand. He can't forgive me. And that's what the empty tomb is about. That's what the resurrection is all about. That's why the cross happened, because Jesus was willing to take the punishment. He was willing to take, we're going to talk about shame on Monday. He was willing to take the shame for us so that we do not have to walk in shame anymore. And the truth is, you know, what you were convicted of and sentenced for all of those years, decades, that was true. I mean, you were guilty. Yeah. But yeah. It's also true that God wiped that debt clean. Not because you were a good person or, you know, you turned your life around, but because Jesus did what he did for you, right?
No other way. I often tell the guys in jail, you know, everybody is knowledgeable of the story of Barabbas and him, you know, Jesus take, I'm Barabbas. Yeah. Jesus took my sin on the cross. He died in my stead, so that I was able to walk free. So how can I not go back to where God set me free from and tell the guys there that a lot of them have perhaps no hope or have a sentence like I had, this, you know, interminable sentence, and they see what God could do. But it all starts with God freeing you from the inside.
There it is again. I just see this so many times, Noel, that the wound that we have in our lives is the place where God invades, and he takes the thing that the enemy meant to keep you down, to keep you locked up, to keep you imprisoned. And if you can't do that behind bars, you know, in the razor wire, he'll do that in your mind. He'll do that to hold you back from being who God created you to be. What the enemy meant for evil, God means for good. And he's going to take you and take you right back into the lives of those men that you're going to speak to. God bless you, friend. I'm so glad that you called. So glad you heard Jack's story that we started with. I'm so glad that we heard Ronnie's story today. I don't have time to be fair to anybody else, so I apologize for not being able to get to other calls, but I want you to hear loudly, clearly, God's on the move. He is at work. He's at work in your heart. Even you've heard this program today. He's doing something in there to draw you closer to himself. And maybe you feel like I'm too far away from God. Don't you believe it. Don't listen to the voice of your enemy. You listen to the voice of the Father, the voice of the shepherd who wants to put you back on your feet and get you going. You little rascal, the shepherd says, you little rascal, you're mine. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to restore your soul. I'm going to walk with you through that valley. That's what all of these stories have been about today. And one more thing before I go, we just recorded this morning a conversation with Ron Hutchcraft and some other folks in Arkansas that we're going to air next week. And do you know what has happened after 25 years? They have a ministry to Native Americans where they are bringing young people in and they are training them, the Native Americans, to go back to their people. So they have a place where they are seen and they're being trained. I'm so excited about letting you hear that. It's a week from today that we will air that. So put it on your calendar and make sure you hear it. Have a great weekend. Come on back on Monday. We're going to talk about fighting shame and the biblical people who overcame shame in their lives. God bless you. Thanks for listening. And remember, Chris Fabry Live's production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute, online, chrisfabrylive.org.